Gentlemen, we are ready to start the meeting. May I start by firstly apologizing for the later start than expected. The House was supposed to rise at 5 minutes to 5, and unfortunately the business just overran 5 o'clock, but we are ready to start now. The last meeting of this committee took place on the 9th of September, and those minutes have been distributed. At the meeting, it was agreed that this meeting will consider and have discussions on the program of the committee and to allow parties to make input as far as the program is concerned. I thus want to welcome everyone to the meeting, and we're looking forward to fruitful discussions. Are there any apologies? The Honourable Malema has submitted an apology. I've received that.
And the Honourable James Self.
Honourable Self.
Chair, we are raising on a prior question, and I would like to indicate that we would like to register the reason why our party has chosen not to be part of this committee, because in our judgment, this committee is unconstitutional.
Honourable Member, we are not at that point on the agenda. I'm asking for apologies. When we start, you'll get the opportunity. When we start the discussions,
okay,
then we
later, right.
Then we will get there. Honourable Akota, will you just switch off your mic, please?
Okay.
Are there any other apologies? There's no other apologies. Yes, Honourable Shivambu?
Not just to note, the Chair, that in the absence of the Commander-in-Chief of the EFF, I'm here as an alternate member.
Now, we've received communication from your whip, Honourable Gadi, this morning. Got a letter here that you will be attending as an alternate. You must just ensure, Honourable Gadi, that you also send it through to the Secretary to the National Assembly so that it can formally be registered on the records of Parliament that indeed the Honourable Shivambu is an alternate member. That takes care of the apologies. I now want to go to the minutes of the last meeting. Yes, Honourable Member, my apologies to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I thought probably we'll adopt the agenda, because I see on the agenda that has been circulated, the issue of the minutes is not reflected.
Yeah. I'm correcting that now, Honourable Member.
Thanks.
To deal with those minutes, is there agreement that the minutes of the previous meeting must be part of the discussions of this meeting? Yes, there's general agreement, Honourable Mocheha.
Raise the purpose of the meeting correctly, because we are here to consider reports, not a particular reports regarding the security upgrades.
It is noted. Honourable Members, I've also asked the committee section staff that is now being allocated to ensure that and as we are aware, all members of Parliament are welcome to attend any meeting of any committee, but just to make a clear distinction, when additional members of Parliament who are not part of the committee are attending, that it's also properly reflected on the attendance register. And that is something that will be attended to in the next meeting. For instance, the Honourable Swart's name is appearing there under attendance by committee members. And we will record those names just below that. Honourable Shivambu?
Yeah, well, obviously in the beginning of the meeting we're supposed to adopt an agenda. And this agenda seems to be clumsily compiled. There's no date and it's just quickly written. It looks like it was written a minute ago. And there's not even a space for adoption of minutes, and it was quickly rush into it and everything else. And the phrasing in the agenda is the same as is on the minutes. It's the same as was taken as a resolution in the House that this is our, but there's a principal agreement that as part of its tasks, this committee is going to discuss all the reports that are going to be tabled and everything else. Of course, there are issues that are going to raise with regards to whether this committee should go ahead or not, but the phrasing is correct, Honourable Mutseha.
Honourable Members, I think there's general agreement right? We have now an allocated secretariat. The draft agenda is there and members are commenting on it. We will now move towards the minutes of the previous meeting that has now been distributed. Those minutes will first be checked. Yes, Honourable Member.
Isn't it standard that before we move to the minutes, we must first adopt the agenda or check the how in the meeting here if there aren't additional agenda issues that must be looked into before we adopt the agenda so that we are able to, because you can't present the agenda and say it.
Honourable Shivambu, if you can recall, I indicated that the item in terms of the minutes was not included in the agenda, and there was general agreement from the members here that that is the item that should be included, and as per the previous meeting that took place, there was a general agreement that political parties will come today so that we can start looking at the program of the committee and they will have discussions on that, and that is on that agenda there. Yes, Honourable Shivambu.
No, Chair, I did not hear you call for inclusion of other items in the agenda, so we could have done that if you had asked us to do so, because the last meeting of this committee happened on the 9th of September 2014, and in between that and now, there is a serious development that has occurred which requires the attention of this meeting.
Honourable Shivambu, will you make do you want to propose another item to the agenda?
On the agenda that we must reflect on the letter which was written by the President of the Republic to the Public Protector on the 11th of September 2014.
There's a proposal for the inclusion of an additional item on the agenda. Now, before we get to points of order, let me get views. The Deputy Chief Whip.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think whatever response from the President that came after that meeting will form part of the documents that the committee will be dealing with. Thank you.
There's another view. Honourable Okota had his hand up. I'll come to you. Just put the mic on, Honourable Member.
We honestly do not want to delay this meeting, and we think this is a brief issue. All the parties in this Parliament are entitled to participate in here. We do think that it is appropriate that we are able to say to this meeting that we do not think that this meeting should proceed. Why? And then if the House doesn't accept it, then we can vacate the meeting without disrupting it. Will you entertain that, sir?
Well, that is a view. As soon as I said on the agenda, the Honourable Shivambu made a clear proposal for the inclusion of an item on the agenda. If you want such an item to be included, then you must propose it, Honourable Okota. Honourable Shivambu, your proposal hasn't been seconded yet, eh? There hasn't been a seconder to it.
Sir, I would...
Before I allow you to speak and before I allow the Honourable Okota to make an additional proposal, is there a seconder for the proposal from the Honourable Shivambu?
I'll support it.
The DA is supporting the proposal. Are there any other proposals or different proposal from that? Honourable Macheka? Your mic, please, Honourable Member.
It's important that we understand the process that has to follow from here, because the item would say program of the committee means that in the program of the committee, we will identify the issues which are going to be dealt with by the committee. But now it would seem we are jumping the gun. We want to propose the items before we deal with the programs of the committee. Those additional items must fall.
Do you want to make a counter proposal, Honourable Member?
I'm simply saying that I'm not countering anybody. I'm just saying that we must have a common understanding of the process. The process is that when we determine the program of the committee, that program will include the issues that the committee is going to deal with. So it's premature to start saying people should propose additional issues to be placed on the agenda.
Honourable members, I allowed and I called for additional items to be added to the agenda, and there is a proposal on the table. Are there any different view from the issue around the report of the President, Honourable Kubai?
Thanks, Chairperson. Procedurally, in terms of how Parliament functions and how it operates, committees of Parliament do not find things for themselves and find things and bring to their committee. There's an agreement in terms of what we need to deal with. If there's a letter that the committee is supposed to deal with, it will be referred to us by the Speaker procedurally. That has not been the case. So I would urge members not to go, because otherwise I will wake up tomorrow and find something in the newspaper. But I think it must come to the committee. And that is very, very dangerous. In how committees of Parliament functions in terms of the rules and procedures, is that everything is referred to the committee through procedures. So that's why I would reject what Honourable Shibambu is raising.
Is there a seconder for the view of the Honourable Kubai? Seconded? Okay. We, honourable members, let us be very clear. We are simply considering the agenda now, and the honourable member had a proposal for the inclusion of an item that was duly seconded. It's now a counter proposal, so there's two different views on the table. Right? Those in favour of the item as proposed
by
the honourable Shivambu, will you indicate so?
Don't trivialize this process and want to subject us to voting carefully. We are here to make deliberation.
Honourable Shivambu, I allowed you to propose an item
but
for the agenda.
The context of this thing in terms of what is happening.
No, but then we are going to
discuss
member. Then we are going to discuss it. Then we are going to discuss the substance of what you are proposing in terms of the additional additional item. The context is a letter of the President that you are referring to. And the question is simply whether it should be included in the agenda now for today's meeting. The ANC is saying they have a different view and is saying it should be referred or it should be dealt with. I also want to remind honourable members that we'll deal with all relevant information as far as this committee is concerned. All of them. All of them. And that is the gist of the... honourable members, I've seen your hands. I've seen your hands. I'll come to you. It's a question of saying that what else? The previous meeting said everything will be considered. Everything will be considered. And the question is, why must it be considered today? And if there are two proposals on the table, that is normal and standard meeting procedures, then you put the proposals and you ask people to indicate whether it should be done now. And I can assure you as the chairperson of this meeting, honourable members, is that all related matters will be considered by the committee, whether it is today or in the future. Those are the two proposals.
Chairperson.
Let me just get the other members who are also indicating. Do you want to speak on the same point, Honourable Singh?
Yes, Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. And our view is that all documentation which relates to this matter here must be placed before this committee as the committee meets. But I don't think it's necessary for us to place this document as an agenda item with the proviso that we have an assurance from yourself as chair that those documents will be placed before this committee for consideration as we move forward with our business. Thank you.
Honourable Mulder, did you want to speak to the same point?
Yes, Chairperson. Our work cannot depend whether the Speaker refers something to us or not. It can't work like that. We have to take note of everything that happens with regard to these issues. Go and have a look at Rule 138. But the question, Chairperson, is whether this should be a separate agenda item or not. I can see no reason why under point 3 on the current agenda it cannot be discussed to say that this has happened in the meantime and it should be included in the workings and members should be given copies of that letter so that we can proceed with our work.
Honourable Lokota. Just your mic, Honourable Member.
We're going to suggest that the letter of the public protector to the Honourable the President of South Africa should also become a part of these discussions.
Honourable Members, I've just indicated that as the chairperson of this committee and other two members have indicated, I will ensure that all relevant documents is considered by the committee. Right? Can we proceed from that point, Honourable Members? And then when we come to the program, as the Honorable Mulder has indicated, then you can indicate and you can raise those points. You'll be allowed to do so, but let's proceed. The minutes of the meeting is in front of us, and we'll check the minutes for correctness first. I've indicated in terms of attendance, page one.
Initials to be corrected.
Initials to be corrected. The Honorable Kubai. Are there any corrections on page two? Any corrections on page two?
Sorry, Chair, was still on page one that time. LM.
Also, those initials to be corrected. Just take care that you indicate the names of the members correctly. Then, Honorable Members, page 3 is just the last part for signing off these minutes. These minutes are thus a true reflection of the meeting that happened on the 9th of September. Can I have someone who was in the meeting to move for the adoption? It's moved by the Honorable Beertman and seconded by the Honorable Maseko. Honorable Members, are there any matters arising out of these minutes? Surely there can't be any matters arising on page 1. Any matter arising on page 2? Honorable Singh.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Matter is on page 2, item 3. The committee also agreed that after considering the relevant documentation, it would decide on the names, etc., etc. Now, Chair, I want to submit that the documentation that was submitted to us by the Secretariat, I would assume, in this file, is incomplete, and that we need a complete set of all relevant documentation before we can even come to the step of deciding what we want to do.
Is there any additional documents?
Well, the whole report.
Honourable members. I can't hear you.
The entire report, Secure and Comfort, and any other complete report. We've got the Public Protector's report here. It's a media statement. It's not the report of the Public Protector. So these are documents that I think the committee would need to consider this matter fully.
Honourable Mane?
Yeah, I wanted to emphasize that point, because what's key is that as we were given the media statement, it doesn't quite cover the extent of the report. And the conversation that took place there said, yes, we can't use the word subpoena, but what is key here is that I would like to understand what the rationale in determining what then would be the respective documents that needed to be distributed, in sense giving a media statement rather than the entire report, where the other missing documents were, so that when we talk about the point, about the discussions of the program of the committee, we've got to at least rationally come from a school of thought that says all the documents have been included, and at this stage that is not so. And in the absence of that, we'll battle to get on to the next point, which is the discussion about where it goes on. Key to that is actually, in fact, the issue of where the Public Protector's report is, because that's not attached anyway.
No, that's correct, Honourable Members. The complete report of the Public Protector will serve in front of the committee, not the media statement. It is a small part of the report that is there. So the complete report needs to be distributed. I think this is the report that we're referring to. This is the one. Honourable Lakude.
Yeah, Chairperson, that's true that we need that thick report, and not only that, all the reports related to these security upgrades at Nkandla, all of them. Thanks.
The only concern was raised by the Honourable Members that the complete report of the Public Protector was not distributed. Is there any other report that you view as Honourable Members that are not complete that you have received from the Secretariat of the Committee? Anything else? We'll just recheck it again. Honorable Kubai?
Thanks, Chair. I would say the SIU report, the final report, the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence report, the interministerial report, and recordings of the previous ad hoc committee minutes in terms of what they have done, and correspondence or the letter of the President in response to all those reports, including the Public Protector's reports, all the Secure in Comfort report. That's the reports I think we should be including.
Honourable Mulder?
It seems that we're going beyond reports. We're referring to the letter of the President. I would then obviously would also like to see included the letter by the Public Protector written to the President, after the President's reply.
Right, so it's all the reports as well as the letter from the Public Protector, the President's letter, all of those, I hope you are recording it, must be distributed so that we can have, as the Honourable Maimane says, a rational discussion in terms of what should take place. Yes, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's also quite a bit of reference made in the SIU report to the Cabinet Memo and the requirements set out therein for the security upgrade, so perhaps we could have a look at that.
The Honourable Member is raising the references in the SIU report to a Cabinet Memo relating to the upgrades that has taken place. We do have the Parliamentary Legal Advisor here, Mr. Vanara. Mr. Vanara, are you in a position to comment on that? Because by nature, the discussions of Cabinet is confidential documents, and Cabinet memos are confidential documents that are not there for public consumption.
Chair, that is indeed the situation. I do not know whether the documents referred in the report, whether or not they are attached to the report. If not, perhaps it could be the explanation of what you've said exactly. I am not in a position, because I do not have the necessary documentation in front of me, to make a proper calling on what is it that the committee can do. But you are correct. You are correct, Chair, that Cabinet memos and discussions are classified documents.
Honourable Maimane.
Thanks, Shepherdson. I don't want to belabor the point there, whether or not they are or not, but it's a very important issue. The SIU report goes to great lengths and raises the issue of the Cabinet memo over and over again. So we face one of two decisions. Either then we read the SIU report absent in reference to the vague Cabinet memo that seems very critical in terms of this issue, or, and Shepherdson, I think this committee needs to make a judgment on that issue, or in fact that we keep the noted Cabinet report as confidential. And I think it would hamper and in fact undermine the very SIU report that is before us here. So I wonder whether in the final report those will be included, but I think in that instance it misses, you then miss out on some of the substantive discussion that took place in this regard.
Honourable Motshekga.
Chairperson, I think reports by their nature will have footnotes or references. Now, if we can sit it here now, before we have sight of the report, we start saying we need copies of the footnotes and the references in the footnotes. I don't think we are going to do justice to the work that we have come here for. I think honorable members are very right to say, let's have all the documents. Then after looking at the documents, then the second step would be, what else do we need? But it's too early now to say, let's follow the footnotes, because we have not even seen the documents.
Honourable Maimane?
Sorry, Honourable Musha, I don't want to... The point is, the SIU report was one of the documents that was submitted to us. I'm not speaking of a document that I have not yet seen. I don't know the extent and the length of that Cabinet memo. It could be one page, it could be a few pages. But the fact of the matter is that I have had sight of it. I have had sight of the report. So you if in the same principle as the Public Protector's report being incomplete or not being present, I'm simply saying the SIU report needs some other supplementary information. And we've got to make a decision whether we are going to attach that, so that when I read the SIU report, those footnotes make sense. In the absence of the footnotes, then I'm lost, is the point.
Honourable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. In considering this matter, I note here that there's reference to a Cabinet memorandum of 2003 that we're talking about, which you asked for advice from the Honourable Legal Advisor. And there's also a Cabinet policy of 2003 that's been referred to in the document. Now these two different things, and we must consider whether both of those documents can be placed before the committee.
The Honourable Kubai, followed by the Honourable Beekman.
Chair, I think let's not deliberate much. Let's allow the chairperson, what we can take as a decision to say, chairperson must go and check if we can get that document and report to the committee. If the document is not classified and it's a public document, it's a public document, therefore we should be able to get. If it's classified, then the chairperson can report back. Because otherwise it means we'll be sitting here arguing about something that we are not very sure, especially after what Advocate Vanara has just said, that he's not so sure about the extent of that. And unfortunately, because we have not even gotten into the substance of the matter, because I'm feeling that now we are already discussing certain reports, Chair, and I would really appeal that we actually close on the matter in that way.
Honourable Beekman.
So, Chairperson, I think we're preempting the discussion point on the programme, you know, what we're going to discuss, then also the relevant reports, the main reports. I mean, there's a host of other references also in the SIU report, other documents. So I think let us discuss during the programme the main reports that we consider, and of course, if in terms of analysis and so on, we will consider those things as we go along.
Honourable Shabambu.
Chair, I think as a matter of principle, we should, from the beginning, reject the notion that says that there are documents which are classified which cannot serve in this committee. I think we'll have to engage in a different process to make sure that each and every document which is needed for this committee to carry its work must be tabled here. I don't think that we as Parliament we can be now be deprived of our oversight responsibility or because there's a different process. I think we need to exhaust whatever is available to make sure that we've got access to each and every piece of document that is needed for this committee to exhaust this work. Because people are going to escape through some classified documents. And we don't want that to happen. So everything else that is deserving the attention of this committee must be tabled here, and then we know what is the background of it. So whatever document that we're asking for must be tabled here. There must not be some classification issues, because this government which classifies, we can just be told that everything is classified and we're not going to be assisted in terms of how we move forward. So let us have a principled agreement that we're going to have access to all the documents that are necessary to carry our work. Sure.
Honourable Cheka.
I think you have repeatedly and correctly said that all relevant documents will be placed before us. But what Honourable Maimane is saying is to say, ask this meeting to take a decision that we need that cabinet memo, which he has seen when he read through the SIU report. I am a member of this committee. I have not even seen that report that you are talking about. So how do I become part of taking a decision on things that I have not seen? So why don't we why don't we agree that we have agreed that all relevant documents will be placed before us, and when they are before us, when we go through them, we may identify even more documents than just that memo, which may have to serve before us. Why are we, as Honourable Beekman saying, why are we prejudging the issues? We have time, and there's willingness to place all relevant documents before us, and that will be done. The chairperson has made that undertaking.
Honourable members, I want to bring this point around the annexures and other documents to some point of conclusion. Indeed, according to my understanding, that has been confirmed by the Honourable Vanara. In light of that, will you allow me the opportunity so that I can meet with the Honourable Mr. Vanara from the legal section, the advisor, and report to in the next meeting exactly these documents that you are referring to, the cabinet memos and so forth, because you must give me the specific instances in the document that you're referring to so that I can come back and report to you as to how we take it forward. Honourable Breitenbach, will you highlight those specific memos you're referring to?
Would you like me to do it now, Mr. Chair? Certainly. In chapter 6 of the SIU report, and more specifically on pages 189, 190, and 191. There's quite a lot of reference to that memo. They're also further on in chapter 6, but those are the main ones. And then again on page 240 in the final chapter.
I will request you that, and I don't think anyone has another view on it currently on what else, just to cross-check at the end of the meeting with the committee secretary.
Sure.
So that I go and look at those specific documents that you've raised, and I'll
sure.
have a discussion with the legal section.
Thank you.
Around that. Are there any other matters, honourable members, in terms of the minutes? Honourable Maseko.
Thank you, Chair. I think I just want to get to the point that you raised in the beginning, that you now have a content advisor and full complement of the... You know, the issue that was raised by Honourable Motsega on the agenda for the meeting, if you look at that and what the purpose is, it means we're only going to look at the report of the president. That's what it says. So I'm saying...
Honourable Member, I think we've dispensed of this matter, really.
But I was just referring
where does
to that.
We are now in the minutes of the meeting. We've moved beyond that point. Are there any other matters on the minutes that you wish to raise, Honourable Members? If not, can we proceed to points? Is it on the minutes, Honourable Lakota?
I don't understand. At this stage, I'm at a loss as where you are. You are promising to bring documents which I don't think you have authority to decide on. But in any event, I don't stand on the way of that. We did raise a question. I said it's a prior question. Will you consider that question before discussion of anything or not?
Honourable Lakota, in line with, if you have, would have followed the discussions that has taken place, we are now on the minutes. And there were certain issues raised about certain documents that were not distributed. We are now going to move from the minutes, and I will allow you the opportunity under point 3 to raise that issue that you have raised right at the beginning of the meeting. Right? So we are now moving to point 3 on the agenda, and since you have made repeated requests to make an input as far as that matter is concerned, I will now allow you the opportunity to do so.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. We are really going to be very direct on this issue. Chairperson, all of us members of Parliament took oath to be loyal and to advance the constitution of our country, which in the provisions of the law, on the provisions, it says, chapter, section 2 of the constitution says that anything that we do that is inconsistent with the constitution is null and void. Insofar as this that provision of the Constitution goes, it's section 2, in chapter 1, section 2. Insofar as that goes, the prior question for us to do anything here is whether there is anybody, there is any structure created by this Constitution or any other law which gives power to anybody, including the president, to set up a committee that is to review the work of the public protector. In our reading of the Constitution, only the judiciary can review the work of the public protector. Unless somebody can produce a section of the Constitution that empowers the president or anybody to create a committee that has the power, these powers I'm talking about, there is nothing in this Constitution or in any other law that gives the President the power to create a committee of this nature. It has no status in terms of this Constitution. We are now being co-opted as political parties in this Parliament to violate the Constitution by demanding of or requiring of us to participate in a committee that has no status in constitution or any law. And we do think that we need to indicate this to the president, that this committee has no status anywhere in this constitutional democracy. That is the point that we would like to make, and we don't want to be part of the being part of the violation of the constitution. I thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The Honourable Tlakude.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think some of us, we are lost here. This is a committee established by Parliament, the National Assembly, not by the President. And the role of this committee is to consider all the reports and the response by the President regarding the Nkandla upgrade, security upgrades. So this committee is not established by the President, it was established by NA, of which we adopted the draft resolutions. That is what we understand.
Very briefly, Chair.
No, I haven't recognized you. Honorable Okota, I have not recognized you. I will give you the opportunity. You had your opportunity. I will take the Honorable Kubai, the Honorable Shavambu, the Honorable Maimane, and then the Honorable Mulder, in that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think we need to correct first Honorable Lugota. No one has said that this committee is meant to review the PP's report. I'm not so sure where he gets it from. The resolution of the House is very clear. Us sitting here, we have no mandate. We've never said that we are here to review the PP's report. So I'm not so sure where he gets it from. But secondly, Chair, during the fourth parliament, co-participated in the ad hoc committee. They didn't participate. But right now, in terms of composition as well, COPE, in terms of the membership of this committee, does not have even to participate. It's their constitutional right to decide not to participate. They can abstain from the committee, but they shouldn't hold the committee's work at ransom, because they have a different interpretation of its responsibility. I think Honorable Lakude has been very clear to say it's not a committee established by President Zuma. President Zuma is not a member of parliament. It is established based on the resolution. Therefore, I think, Chair, we shouldn't waste our time on this matter. We must just move on and start doing work. We are really dilly-dally. We'll end up not even doing anything at this rate. We'll be ready by the time 2019 election or after the elections are ready. Because we just dilly-dallying, small issue every time it erupts. We need to get to the point where we do our work. The resolution is very clear. We have a deadline to meet. And at this stage, I would appeal to all members to remember that the resolution has a deadline where we need to meet the deadline.
The Honorable Shavambu.
Thanks, Chair. The part of the recommendations of the Public Protector's report, the Secure and Comfort, which we were waiving earlier, is that an ad hoc committee must be established by this parliament to look into some of the issues relating to the president. So we can't separate it from that directive by the public protector. That is number one. Number two, the public protector has, as per the constitution, expressed some remedial action which the constitution empowers her to express, that this is what should be done as part of the Public Protectors Act and as part of the constitution's guidelines. That's what she did. She said that a certain portion of money must be paid back to the state by the president. That is what she said must be done, and she believes that her decisions can only be reviewed by a court of law, because that is what the Public Protectors Act says. Now, the President of the Republic has written a letter to question the powers of the Public Protector as per the Constitution and as per the Public Protectors Act.
Let's allow the Honorable Member to, we have enough time tonight.
Don't be in a rush. That is what the letter from the President basically says. It even says that you are an ombudsman kind of arrangement. You are not a judge. You can't tell me what to do. That is what the President has said, the public protector. And the question which Honorable Lukota has raised is, what then becomes the status of this committee when a president is now questioning the powers of the public protector, which are enshrined in the Constitution, which are enshrined in the Public Protectors Act? That is what we must deal with. That, aren't we going to legitimize the deliberate defiance of the public protector by the president? Because
As per our understanding, the president is disregarding the law which is given to the public protector by the Constitution and by the Public Protectors Act. And that is a fundamental question that we must deal with here, that how do we proceed when there is already a directive that money must be paid and a president is refusing to pay that particular money as per the directives of the Public Protector. Those are the issues that we must have to deal with even before we proceed with anything.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Member. I think the next one was the Honourable Maimane.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. And I think without delaying this particular issue, when I recall the process with which we've arrived at the point that we are, firstly, is that Honourable Lindiwe Mazibuko raised a complaint about the security upgrades that were taking place in Nkandla. An investigation was then, a request for the report was put to the Public Protector. A Public Protector report was then tabled. The commissioning of SIU reports, etc., etc., was an act subsequent to the Public Protector's report. The task given to Parliament, in fact, at the point, says the President's response, that's why in some ways even the agreement here, it was the President's response to the Public Protector's report on the issue. What then becomes vital in this particular conversation is that, fine, we can have multiple reports on the table. The constitutional mandate and the first response that we ought to give is to declare and make a decision as to what is the relationship that the Public Protector has in relation to this committee and how this committee views the Public Protector. Because why this matter is important, it's important in reference to what Honorable Legota is raising. It's also important in reference to what the members in the ANC are raising. Because I don't want to sound sinister, but it is a bit sinister that we didn't get that report, but we got other reports. But what can't be acceptable is that that must be surely, as a point of conversation, be the point at which we begin. And if we can't establish that the Public Protector who launched the initial investigation onto the very substance of the issue we are debating is not the report we are going, is not the departure point, and what powers then does the Public Protector have, then we've got a different matter. Because in fact then, we must then accept the President's letter, we must accept the SIU's commission that is taking place in court at the moment where they are pursuing the money, then that's what we must accept and abandon this work. But if in fact we are going to consider the President's response to the Public Protector, then in that case, I think that's a crucial starting point. All the other reports and SIU, I accept, are crucial. But we must understand the posing of the question. And if we don't all have a common understanding of what the question is, I fear Chairperson will give the wrong answer.
There was another end that I recognized. The Honourable Mulder, I'll come to you. I'll come to you, Honourable Mulder.
Yes, Chairperson. I understand that we are discussing at the moment the point made by the Honourable Lakota, that in his view and his party's view that the committee is unconstitutional. And I would like to address that as a first point. I will not participate in a committee that is unconstitutional. It's not for this committee to review the Public Protector's report. If this committee wants to review the Public Protector's report, this committee would act outside the law. We cannot do that. As a matter of fact, I want to appeal to my colleague, Mr. Lakota, not to leave this committee and its workings, because this is an ideal opportunity to do what we are supposed to do. To keep, to look after what happened to the relevant taxpayers' money, and to keep the executive of doing what is needed. So there's no way that this committee, as my interpretation, could act or could be unconstitutional. As a matter of fact, in terms of the Constitution, in terms of the Parliament could set up a committee, which he did. It was not the President. So I don't believe that the committee and its workings could be unconstitutional. The second point, and I want to refer to what the Honourable Maimane basically just said, the letter of the President, and that is my perspective, is the view of the President. That's the Honourable President's view and maybe his interpretation, and he's entitled to that. But I'm also entitled to my interpretation and my view, and I think the President is 100% wrong. in his interpretation. And I think we'll get to that point to discuss that at some stage. To me, the work of the committee is quite clear. We know what we need to do. The public protector issued a report. That report is in terms of the Constitution and the Public Protectors Act, and we have to deal with that. It's not for us to review the report. We must look after the recommendations by the public protector, not to amend them, not to change them, to make sure and to see that they are implemented. That's our task. It's also our task to see that public money is being spent in the correct way, and we as a committee may even go beyond the public protector's report, and I would like to do so because there are a number of questions asked by the public protector that was never answered by relevant people, and I think we should get the answers to those questions. So there are also other reports, and those reports also reflect on the issue at stake, and we can look at those issues as well. We need to look at those issues. But I'm not concerned at this stage, Chairperson, that there's any way that this committee with any credibility can get away or shy away from the reality that's on the table. And we need to start dealing with that, the sooner the better.
The Honourable Mocheka.
Listen, I think by now, after the other speakers, especially Honourable Melda, has spoken, Honourable Gota will concede that this committee was established by Parliament, not by the President, and that this committee was not established to review, but to consider. There's a difference between review and consider, because our mandate is to consider all the documents that we have agreed will serve before us, and after considering those documents, we'll make recommendations to the House. And therefore, the powers of the public protector are not under discussion. They are prescribed by the Constitution as regulated by the Public Protector Act. So, Honorable Lugota, it's incorrect to say that we are going to review those powers. That is not on the agenda. But as well, we don't have to fight about what the President said in his letter to Parliament, whether or not he challenged the powers of the public protector. It's not something that we should be dealing with now. When we deal with his report to Parliament, we will also consider any letter or communication which is relevant to that report. So that matter can only be raised at that stage. But to deal with it at this stage, with due respect to honorable members, I don't think it will take us forward. Honorable Maimane, also, you see, we are not discussing the powers of the public protector. The Constitution gave her the powers, but gave Parliament the right to regulate them. We have regulated them in an act, so that job is done. Now we just have to consider the reports and make recommendations to the House. Thank you.
The Honourable Beekman, I'll come now to you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Honourable Lekota made the point of the referral into Section 2, but I mean, we must also read the Constitution in totality. And I mean, it's quite clear that this committee's task is really in Section 42.3. The National Assembly is elected to represent the people and to ensure governed by the people under the Constitution. It does this by choosing the President, by providing a national forum for public considerations of issues, by passing legislation, and by scrutinizing and overseeing executive action. So that sentence is really our task, what we should do, scrutinizing and overseeing executive action. When we look at all the reports, we're not reviewing anything. We're overseeing and scrutinizing executive action. That is our focus and mandate, and that is what we should do.
The Honorable Singh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable colleagues. I think Honorable Mulder has answered the question pertaining to the point made by Honorable Lekota about the constitutionality of this committee. But I think a moot point going forward is what extent is the president bound by this appropriate remedial action which the public protector has put in their report on page 48 and 49 of this media briefing? Now, there seem to be differences of opinion of how binding her recommendations or her findings or her remedial action is. Now, it raises a fundamental question. You said early on we have a content advisor. There's a law advisor here, I think, either advising the committee. What resources are available to this committee? Or what resources are we going to make available to this committee to capacitate this committee with independent opinions on this particular point of the constitutionality and the remedies that have been suggested by the public protector that the president must follow?
Honourable Singh, you will agree that you are now dealing with more substantive discussions that need to take place in this committee that emanate out of these reports. The honourable member next to you, Honourable Shivambu, and then I'll come to you.
My name is Mbuyiseni Ndlozi. And look, I think that the predicament that is presented by the Honourable Lekota's suggestion and reading of the activities of the work, as much as I agree that the final point at which he arrives is incorrect, is precisely that there is a contestation of the fundamental question at hand, and part of that contestation is going to confront us as a committee, or the work of the committee, that is, because some of the reports that you are considering are contradicting the public protector's report. So the question of the constitutionality that is contested directly by the president may have to be concurrently determined. So I would say that interested parties, Honorable Lekota, you must stay in the committee, but interested parties must immediately go and seek a court interpretation that is common about the contestation of the president around him being bound by remedial action. And I think it will make the job, including of all other reports that we will consider as we go, that are suggesting amendments to the public protector's report. I think that's the predicament he's saying, and then we'll consider it as we go.
Honourable members, I know. You see, Honourable Shivambu, it's not about how many times you put up your hand. It's why once I've noticed you, I've noticed you. So any other hands that go up now, they will get their chance after that sequence that has been determined. Honourable members, I want to remind you that this committee is executing and functioning under the resolution that was passed by the House and the agreement that all relevant reports will be considered. Now, if there is any, Honourable Ndlozi, any view of what parties want to do on their own, that's your choice. That's your choice, really. But this committee will continue with the work that it has been entrusted to do. Honourable Shivambu.
Thank you very much, Chair. You know, the assurance that I think I'm getting from the House and from this meeting is that this committee is not going to review the findings of the public protector. And in our understanding is that those remedial actions which the public protector said must be engaged in must be implemented. Now, the last paragraph of the letter from the president to the public protector reads as follows. Be patient with me, it's very short. It says, as the Chapter 9 institutions created under our constitution, the public protector must compile her report and allow the appropriate institutions to consider and react to it. I am awaiting the outcome of the parliamentary process and venture to suggest that you likewise will allow these important institutions of our democracy an opportunity to do its work. Now, we're not reviewing the work of the public protector. It must go ahead. But the president is saying that he is not going to abide by the findings and the remedial actions of the public protector because he's awaiting us to finish this work. So we're being utilized now to prevent the implementation of the public protector recommendations, which the president says he cannot implement because his interpretation of the constitution is different from what is the interpretation of the public protector. And Honorable Muyiseni Ndlozi is correct to say that maybe there must be a different platform that should interpret this constitution and the Public Protectors Act properly for all of us, so that there is common ground. When committees continue with this work, which is not reviewing the public protector, maybe we need to approach a court, a capable court, to say what is a common interpretation of the constitution in terms of the powers of the public protector and in terms of what the constitution says. There is already precedence in the Supreme Court of Appeal that the public protector is not a mere ombudsman, but the president says that. It's very unfortunate, but we'll deal with it in a separate process. If we agree as a committee that we're not reviewing your work, there is just a misunderstanding between the president and the public protector, we'll take it in a different process when the committee continues its work. I don't think that it can be a problem.
The Honorable Dlakude.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we have stayed for a long time on this item. We agree with Honorable Mulder and the other speakers who said that we are not reviewing any report. We are considering all the reports regarding the security upgrades. That is what we are doing. That's number one. Number two, Honorable Chairperson, I think we need to move on to the discussion of the program of this committee, because now things are coming out that we are now as if we are discussing the reports or the letter or whatever. We are not yet there. We are still going there. There is no hurry. So let's go back to the program of this committee. Then we will decide on which day are we going to discuss what. Thank you, Chair.
The Honourable Mocheka.
I just want to agree with the chairperson's response to Honorable Singh that we have not reached a stage to even say what is the meaning of remedial action. Secondly, Honorable Josie, it's important to know that there are three arms of government. There is a doctrine of the separation of powers. Now, Parliament, which is an independent arm of the state, is seized with the matter through this committee. Now, to say the court must come into this committee to interpret terms for us would be unconstitutional.
Honourable members, let's allow the Honourable Mocheka. If you want another opportunity, by
so
all means.
I'm saying...
there's not such a proposal. What we're saying is
no,
that
Honourable
we will Shabambu, approach the
Honourable
Shabambu,
Honourable Shabambu, allow me to chair the meeting.
Okay, but
you will get an opportunity.
Information.
So let's be fair. We've allowed everyone to say whatever they want to say, and let's just be patient with one another.
With respect, let me address the issue without reference to you. The legal situation or constitutional situation is that this parliament is seized with these matters and that we don't need the court to come and explain to us what the constitution means. The stage at which we are is that when we consider the report of the president and the letter, you can raise the issues that you are raising. But at the moment, we have not even seen the letter of the president. How do we start to engage with the letter? Because some of us saw these things in the newspapers. So is the newspaper a vehicle, a mouthpiece of the president? So let's just agree. We haven't seen the letter of the president, so we cannot engage with that letter. Secondly, honorable members, we can take a decision here or say this and that in such and such a report should be implemented because we are here,
we are established for the purpose of considering the reports. How do we start implementing recommendations in the reports that we have not seen and discussed? So, honorable members, I think that we should agree that the time will come for us to decide what should be implemented or not. Thank you, Chair.
The Honorable Kubai, you had your hand up. You covered. Honorable Mimane.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to propose a way forward. Firstly, we've agreed. I feel the House agrees that we're not here to review anything, right? We must accept the reports as they stand. I think we mustn't get into a discussion that would seek to make Parliament less than the President. In this instance, Parliament elects the President. It is equally so the President, the same Parliament, who has the power to recall the same President. So, if that's our point of departure, let's not find ourselves debating whether now the President's interpretation of a law is then what should be the guiding discussion. We should, as a committee, agree the fact that, constitutionally speaking, we are tasked here to hold the executive to account, as is the constitutional arrangement that the member has made. If that is our point of departure, I'm happy for us to conclude, almost preliminarily so, until we get into the discussion, that the President's interpretation of this matter is his. He is entitled to be right or wrong, but the fact of the matter is that that would be subject to what Parliament's ruling on this issue is. And we hold the view sitting here today to say that there's a parliamentary process that's taken place, there's a Chapter 9 institution that's made a ruling. Therefore, our job here is to make sure that the executive, in this instance, the key executive member is the President, is subject to that. So I don't think we must try and get a self-image problem here. We are Parliament, we are here to hold the executive to account, and therefore the executive, it could be another minister who makes another proposal that is contrary to the Public Protector or the SIU. They become irrelevant in this instance. We, as the Parliamentary Ad Hoc Committee, will make a recommendation to Parliament that says we must, in fact, uphold the Chapter 9 institution's rule and recommendation here. So I think we mustn't get into a self-image issue. I think we must agree that the President has a view, everyone else can have a view, but let's take the decision going forward.
We really want to bring this discussion now to some point of conclusion, so also resist the temptation to the Honorable Maimane. I see you making recommendations already. At the end of the process, we've just started. Honorable Dlozi?
Thanks, Chair. Look, the point in the agenda is what the Honorable Lekota has raised. Honorable Motsekga. It was in an attempt to persuade the Honorable Lekota to stay in the process that I suggested that as an interested party he can initiate a corroborative process. But he does. Was saying that, honorable members, let us stay. Let us do oversight. Let us exercise. And that does not hold us from going outside as interested parties to clarify with the court the contradictions that he's raising. And it was within that point of an agenda because I'm interested in the Honorable Lekota staying in the committee. I'm not saying that you must therefore decide immediately that the President is wrong. I know that you don't want to do that, Honorable Motsekga.
Honorable Lekota?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the matter we are dealing with is far more important than I think some of our colleagues perhaps think. It might appear academic, but it is not. First of all, the constitution of this country is the supreme law of this land. There is no structure, there at national, provincial, local, that is not and does not get its status to exist from the constitution. There is none. There is no power that anybody has or a structure has which doesn't flow from the Constitution. If there is such a structure, then it is null and void, because that's what the Constitution says. Now, I appreciate the benevolence of Mr. Milner that we must just go ahead. But the position is this. If Parliament has the power to review the work of the public protector, just a moment, please, let's listen. I've been sitting quietly listening to your point.
Honourable members, let's be patient.
Let's be very patient, you know. If there is, if we're entitled to do what we are doing now, and we can't pretend that we are not actually doing this because the public protector issued a report and made remedial, recommended certain remedial action. That's what we are dealing with here in the end. Now, the Constitution says very clearly that she's got the power to review the work of state and administration in all spheres of government. She may not review the work of the courts, period. Anything else she may review, and if she finds that remedial action is necessary, she has powers to recommend it. Nowhere does it say that the executive or any other structure can review that work, save the courts of the country. As a matter of fact, she's on record as saying that Section 181, Subsection 2 of the Constitution provides that the public protector is subject only to the Constitution and the law. So there must be legislation why we want to do what we want to do. We are saying by doing things which we cannot produce legislation to show that we are empowered to do that, we are actually violating the Constitution. In fact, we are playing the role of undermining the Constitution. It is for that reason that we are saying we cannot, it is wrong for us to collaborate with an act or to be co-opted into a process that is patently unlawful and unconstitutional. And the point we are making, therefore, is that there must be compliance with the remedial action that the public protector has prescribed. Now, Honorable Mother started by saying that he would not participate in a committee that he feels is not founded at law. That was the reason, first of all, that was the reason why we did not participate in the fourth parliament. We didn't participate in this committee.
Honorable Kota, will you start winding up, please?
But, sir, you allowed many...
No, but, Honorable Kota, you said these things when you made your input at the beginning, and you are repeating it now again.
Please, sir, I'm
giving you an opportunity. Now, asking you because, as I've said, we want to bring this now to a conclusion.
Okay,
will you start wrapping up, please?
Finish.
Yes, finish.
I mean, you allow many people...
No, Honorable Lakota, finish.
No, don't treat me like that.
Honorable Lakota.
Because, you see, you are getting into my mouth. I can't even...
Honorable Lakota, I'm just asking you.
Well, allow me to finish.
Since you are repeating what you said earlier,
I'm not repeating, to
complete your input. Thank you. You may proceed, Honorable Member.
No point of order, Chair.
What is your point of order?
You yourself now are not assisting the meeting altogether. Because as the chair, you are supposed to be a neutral as much as it is possible. You have not done that which you are doing to him, to all the other members. Okay? Give him a chance to finish that which he's saying.
Honorable Member.
He can be able to.
Honorable Member. I've said to the Honorable Lakota, he'll have an opportunity to complete his input.
Yes.
Your point of order.
No
is,
point of order. Yes.
Not a, no, Honorable Member. It's not a point of order. It's not
it
a, point,
a point of
it
order.
It is not a point
I'm
of.
It to you.
It's not a point of order.
Yes.
Because
yes.
The Honorable Member has an opportunity to complete his input. Continue, Honorable Member.
Well, I could only finish if you just allowed me to say what I was about to say. Chairperson, I was saying that. The Honorable Milner has said that he would not participate in a committee that he feels is not constitutional. The reason we are here was so that we are able to table, put on record, why we think this is not right. And if we are not able to persuade colleagues, we may very orderly withdraw our participation so that nobody can say these people participated in what they thought is unconstitutional. But we have to do it, and I really want to say to you, we are prepared to withdraw if we are not able to persuade the House and without disrupting the House. It's not a walk out. It is simply staying out because we don't want to be painted with the same brush. We can see the pitfalls in this thing. That's why we do so. I thank you for the time you've given us.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Members, no. You see, Honourable Members, when you come to these meetings, and I want to just indicate to you that all the other meetings, we are not going to be rushed for time in order to. Everyone will get a fair opportunity, but part of my task is to bring the discussions to some form of conclusion as well. Can't go back all the time, right, so that we can move forward. We must still get into substantive issues, and we will allow a fair opportunity for all participation. The Honourable Member has raised this point. He's entitled to his view. Right? He's entitled to his view. The Honourable Macheka, and then the Honourable Dlakude, and the Honourable Garde.
Chairperson, I think we have a responsibility to assist fellow Honourable Members. Honourable Legota's interpretation of the Constitution, with due respect, is wrong. As Honourable Bieke said, when you read the Constitution, you must read it as a whole. Because if you read sections in isolation, you'll come to wrong conclusions. For instance, if you read this Constitution where it grants powers to the Public Protector, you must read that in conjunction with the Public Protectors Act. That act will tell you that the public protector has the right to refer her reports to Parliament for consideration. Now, her report is now before Parliament for consideration. Now, how can it be unconstitutional for Parliament to consider a report that is before it, a report which deals with a matter that is of national interest? So there's nothing unconstitutional, Honorable Lugota, and we value your contributions. We would advise you not to leave this committee because your presence will enrich the committee. So there's no unconstitutionality. Your contributions are valid. Just stay in and not out.
Honourable Dlakude, then the Honourable Guardian, the Honourable Mulder will be the last speaker on this point.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm partly covered by Honourable Motseka. And also, just to advise ourselves as Honourable Members that if we come to this kind of a meeting with premeditated outcomes, then it means that we are not going to do justice to the work that we are expected to do. So let us focus on what is expected of us as Parliament. Then we'll come out at the end of the day with a finished product that will be acceptable to everyone. I thank you.
Honourable Garde.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The fact of the matter is that Honourable Gota believes strongly in what he believes in. And if one tries to check the issues that he is raising, it does appear that there is some element of unconstitutionality, but really it is not the committee and its business. It does appear that the House resolution itself is the one that is unconstitutional and not the committee in terms of what the committee should do. And secondly, there is a likelihood of litigation against Parliament and this committee vis-a-vis the approach of the committee on the matters. Because to start with, one is tempted to believe that this committee is established in terms of three statutes: the Constitution,
Public Protectors Act, and lastly, an act that refers to Executive Members Ethics Act. This committee has not been established out of benevolence of the Parliament. There is a statute that directs Public Protector and Parliament to establish this committee first and foremost to look at the report of the Public Protector, secondary, any other report that may be available. But the mere fact that the report of the Public Protector in terms of the resolution of the House is just like any other report creates the constitutional crisis of this committee and the tensions and mistrust that is in this committee. And as time goes on, we will all be cited by the litigant. I mean, there is an organization called Freedom Under Law, which has got a right to take this committee and for parties to be cited together with Parliament for flouting the Constitution, the statutes establishing this committee. The rules must be subject to the Constitution, not the Constitution subject to Parliament. But be as it may, Chairperson, I think to a certain extent, this committee has been established to be set up. We are being set up in this committee by nature of its terms of reference, conditions under which it can work, and issues it can look at. The steam rolling down the throats of parties in the House to look at any other report and the Public Protector's report to be subordinate to other reports is the one that is going to cause constitutional crisis here. And to that extent, for as long as our colleagues in the ANC insist and equate the report of the Public Protector to that of the SIU Interministerial and Public Works Report, we are bordering on the contravention of the Constitution, because those are secondary sources of authority and reference for this committee. If our House resolution specifically said the committee is established in terms of the Members' Ethics Act, the Public Protectors Act, and we are going to look at a report as referred to by the Public Protectors Act, but however the committee may go further than that to take any other report it deems fit. But the problem is that it is the other way around the resolution. I thank you.
Yes, Honourable Member.
I think we need to assist each other.
Honourable Member, the Honourable Mulder.
Chairperson, on the point of order.
The Honourable Mulder is the next speaker.
Yeah, I just wanted
what
to
what is the point of order?
Well, the point is you'd made a speaker's list. You concluded that Honourable Mulder was the last, and now, to my surprise, the ANC is getting another 5. In that instance, then we must get an opportunity to reinstate the issue.
Honourable Members, just relax, be patient, and we'll work through this. Honourable Mulder?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think it's a good thing that we have all gone to the Constitution. We will still need the Constitution on numerous occasions in the next few weeks. I just want to put one argument on the table. References made to Section 2 of the Constitution, which is correct. It refers to the supremacy of the Constitution, and it quite clearly indicates the Constitution is the supreme law of the Republic. Any law inconsistent is invalid, and it states, and the obligations imposed by it must be fulfilled. We'll get to that point at some stage. Then we are talking about this committee. And then I would like to refer members to Section 43 of the Constitution, which says the legislative authority of the Republic on national sphere of government is vested in Parliament. That's us. But then we should look, and Mr. Lakota made the point to say that we must uphold the Constitution, and then he says if we can bring any act or any law to give power to the committee in terms of what this committee needs to do. Now, if we say that this committee's task is to review or change or amend the Public Protector's Report, then I can understand that. My understanding is there's nothing of that sort on the table, because if we did put something like that on the table, it will be unconstitutional. And I listened to all the members around the table, all the members of the committee. There was unanimity that that is not our task. But then if Mr. Lekota says we need a law or an act or something to say what we are doing is constitutional, I want to refer him.
Honorable Mulder, the Honorable Lekota said he can't yet clearly. Can you just repeat the last sentence?
Okay.
And your reference to the specific clause in the Constitution. He couldn't hear you.
No, Mr. Lekota says that he needs, if we can give some legal standing for what we are arguing in terms of what this committee should do, then he can live with that and he can understand that. And I want to refer him to the Constitution itself. That is the power of what we are doing at the moment. And I'm specifically referring to Section 55 of the Constitution, which deals with the power of the National Assembly. That's us. It says in exercising its legislative power, the National Assembly may do certain things. That refers to legislation and those kind of things. But then it goes on in subsection 2. It says, not may, but must. The National Assembly must provide for mechanisms, A, to do what? To ensure that all executive organs of state in the national sphere of government are accountable. That's exactly what we are doing in terms of the Constitution. And then sub B, to maintain oversight of the executive and any organ of state. So if we are looking for some proof or some underlying authority for what this committee is doing, that's exactly what we are doing in terms of the Constitution. Last reference to what was mentioned in terms of freedom of speech or that other organization that might take some of us to court, members of parliament have parliamentary privilege in the workings and the things that we do within the House and in front of our committees. Thank you.
Honorable Dlakudia, is there anything else that hasn't been said that you want now to say?
Honorable Chairperson,
it must really be good.
Yes, it is. It is. Honorable Chairperson, I just want to remind some of us, ourselves, as members of Parliament, that the real reason why all relevant documents regarding to the security upgrades at Nkandla, we must look at them, all of them. Number one, the first task team to investigate this issue was the interministerial, then the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, the Public Protector,
Chairperson,
and
order,
the SIU.
Order, Chairperson.
Even
order, Chairperson.
The Public Protector
so
took
we,
some
we
of the...
in that order.
Just hold. The Honourable Member.
There is an
you,
order.
Honourable Member, you may not agree with what the Member say.
But I'm raising
but what she says
order.
Doesn't also make it fact. So let's give an opportunity to the member.
There is a point of order, Chairperson.
What is the point of order?
The point of order here is that Honorable Member is responding to a matter I raised, which has got to do with the constitutionality of the resolution of the House. And because of the steamrolling of the majority, which refused amendment of that resolution, wherein they just wanted to piggyback
Honourable Member,
of the public,
you are noted.
And equating it to it.
Yes, you
have said. And it is still being insisted that the other reports are equal and carry the same weight.
Order, Honourable Member.
No.
Honourable Dakule, will you conclude, please?
Yes. What I'm trying to say is that the Public Protector herself, some of her recommendations, she took them from the Interministerial Task Team report. And also she referred some matters to the SIU. So why can't we
Honourable,
consider...
Honourable Dlakudia, thank you.
Okay.
Honourable Members, you know, earlier the Honourable Imane proposed a way forward that we must proceed with the work that we should do. You are now getting into issues of resolutions that was passed by the House and certain views that were raised at the time. And certainly this committee has been set up, and you can refresh your memories in terms of the resolution as passed by the House, to consider the report by the President, make recommendations where applicable, exercise those powers in terms of Rule 138, and then also to put all the relevant documents that are there on the table, including the different reports. Certainly Parliament and the Honourable Mulder has correctly referred to it in terms of the constitutionality of this committee. The National Assembly determines its own business. It determines also the way it wants to conduct its business. That cannot be prescribed to by a court. Similarly, the National Assembly cannot prescribe to a court how the court should conduct its business, and that is in the realm of the separation of powers. We have all these documents now here in front of us. Honourable Members are entitled to their views. Honourable Lekota has articulated his view very, very clearly.
And ultimately, it's up to the individual members of the different political parties to decide their participation in the committee and the extent of their participation, or if they want to decide on other action. That is, that they are, that all citizens in the country are entitled to, by the way, under the Constitution. So that is, you can do that, right? However, we must continue with the work that is currently in front of us, in line with the resolution, and during the deliberations, of course, members will be free to raise all these different issues that they have raised in terms of why this report is more important than the other report, of why the other report is more important than the other report. We must now agree as to the program that now includes all the reports that are in front of us, when do we meet again, and also how do we move forward, keeping in mind that next week, honourable members, is a committee week where members are already, some members are committed to. However, I would really implore, that since the complete version of the Public Protector Report, this one, and I got this from the internet, honourable members, if you go under the Public Protector on the internet, 19 March this year, this report appeared there. You can print it. If you don't want to print it and you want to save a few trees, save it on the devices that Parliament has given to all members to do its work. So this report is available. It's not a document that has been kept deliberately away. However, I want to implore on the committee staff to check with all the members to see to it that indeed either they want a hard copy to be printed for them or they will access it or have accessed it on the internet. The question now is to proceed to the next meeting and to determine what is to be done in the next meeting. In the next meeting, we must start with deliberations on this process in terms of what is here in front of the reports so that we can move to some form of conclusion and really also to ask members to make some sacrifices as far as next week is concerned so that the committee can sit at least for 2 days next week. Honourable Okota.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we just want to express our gratitude for the committee to give us an opportunity to address it on the issues we did. We may not have succeeded, but it was a privilege to try and persuade you to our point of view. I would like to ask that you allow us to absent ourselves from the proceedings going forward. We will follow, obviously we will follow this. In good conscience, we really cannot sit in this as if we endorse what is going on. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Honourable Member. And as you have said, Honourable Okota, it's not a walkout. It's a withdrawal. No, thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you. Honourable Shabambu, I'm waiting for proposals now in terms of
the
program
moving forward. Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of the program, in that report that we're weaving there, if you check on page 442, it then gives the four components of what the President of the Republic should do. And the last one of those four, well, obviously it says that he must pay back the money. That is what it says as part of the remedial action. And it says that he should report to the National Assembly. And this is part of that process that we need to deal with. So I think that what we need to do next week, let's have from Monday to Friday, or from Tuesday to Friday, we must meet every day because we must expedite this process. Let's have the Public Protector to come and summarize her report to us first. And immediately after that, we must then subpoena the President to come and report to the National Assembly on his comments and actions on this particular report of the Public Protector, because already the Public Protector was saying that such should have been done within 14 days post-publication of the report, and such did not happen. So we're long overdue in terms of what should the happen. We must not delay this process further. Let's start with the Public Protector. Immediately after that, we must then ask the President to come and report to the National Assembly in terms of
what is he intending to do in paying back the money which must be paid back to the taxpayer for continuance of service delivery. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Beekman, followed by the Honourable Kubai.
Honourable Chairperson, yes, you asked for firm proposals in terms of the program. From our side, we propose next Thursday and next Friday, because the problem is some of our committees is already busy with oversight visits next week, Monday, Tuesday, and also Wednesday. So from our side, we are proposing Thursday and Friday. And then in terms of processing, our proposal is that the content advisors and researchers do a text analysis of the documents and provide that to us, you know, as a reference, and then we look at those reports on Thursday and Friday for deliberations.
Honourable Kubai, Honourable Ndlozi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I support what Honourable Beekman has proposed. Firstly, we've got the reports that are before us. We've got committee team that is assigned to this, if I'm correct, as on the minutes. We've got content advisors and researchers. My proposal, Chair, is that we need to get them to do an analysis of the reports. And the reason why we have asked for this would ask for this analysis, you'd know that you'd find the reports cross-inter. When you look at the PP's report, makes reference to the inter-ministerial report. When you look at the SIU report, will make reference to the PP's report and inter alia. So what I would propose is that we need to find commonalities on issues. Say, out of this, this is where there's arguments, even including all those reports. These are arguments in terms of what needs to happen. These are where they differ in terms of the approaches and the issues. And then what would do that proposal in terms of the the analysis and presentation be tabled next week? The reason why I'm out second to the Thursday and Friday is to give the team enough time to do that work, but noting that Wednesday is a very important day, Heritage Day, that we need to celebrate our Africanism as South Africans. So we'd meet on Thursday. We can sit the whole day from morning, Chairperson, until the afternoon, whatever, the evening time we finish, again proceed. But also, let's say Thursday we look at the analysis and the reports. We would have obviously have read our own reports, look at what is being presented in terms of what I'm saying, and then Friday go to the response letter or report by the President to look at what has been said is and how the President has responded on the matter and what is being said. So that's my proposal. And then later we can come back and meet later. We can determine the following week or so to look at what is that is coming as a recommendation and deliberations, and therefore move to the adoption of the report. And what I agree with what has been said by Honourable Shibambo, the sooner we finish this, the better. But I would disagree with immediately saying this is the person what we must call. For example, Honourable Member spoke about us not having to review the PP's report. The minute we start saying she must come, what are we saying she must come and do? Behavior as well.
Honourable Member, address the Chairperson, please.
She can, what is she can, because we've got the reports, we've got the ability to read the reports. Have we read the reports and found that we are unable to explain things? I can't say that when I'm sitting here. On what basis do we come to a decision that the PP must come here? It's invalid. So we shouldn't, at this point, hurriedly rush to already say this one must come. On what basis? We must read the report, analyze, agree to say, okay, on this area we are not disagreeing. On this area, these are the issues. We can't just openly say this one must come, this one must not come. There must be a basis on based on the reports, analysis, and our engagement, where we have engaged with the report, looked at the reports, looked at the content of the reports, and say, okay, this is what we need to do. So we can't at this point say that. Thank you very much.
Honourable Ndlozi.
Thanks, Chair.
I'll come to you now, Honourable Imane.
We must avoid any form of delay tactics, even in the name of the intellectual competence of members. I think that we are prepared to say we have this time, as the Honourable Member says, till Thursday and Friday next week, to read all the reports. We must subpoena two people as the Honorable Shivamu says, on Thursday, the public protector to engage her, to clarify, on Thursday, to clarify these issues. I'm in agreement Thursday and Friday, and we must finish. We read all the reports as they speak, these two people. The first one is the public protector. Because that is how important the Constitution makes her report. That is how important her report is, according to the Constitution. So, employees of the ANC in the cabinet there, and so on and so forth, as ministers, they work for the president. We must do the balance of power in the interest of the doctrine of separation of powers. We summon the president second and say, in light of all these reports, here's remedial action. What is difficult, Chief, to paying back the money on Friday? Because that's what the report says he must do. But we, of course, as we engage both of these, Chapter 9 institution on one hand, on the other, the president, we're engaging them with all reports. But we're elevating two institutions, Chapter 9 and the man in question, and we say, the public protector yesterday said 1, 2, 3, 4. We've also familiarized ourselves. SIU, you have an open. Those are the two things we propose concretely that must happen. And then the rest can be discussed in the following meeting of the meeting with a resolution that goes
Honorable
to the National Assembly.
Honorable Lozi, are you saying we need 2 days to do this work?
Honorable Chairperson, I'm saying, yes, 2 days. But
and
not
and then
days.
We finish?
No.
Oh, I just wanted that clarity.
No, I'm saying, Chairperson, the work of the committee is in process. The reports are served and so on and so forth. People know the terms and the conditions. Between now and the Thursday that is proposed, let us familiarize ourselves with the reports. But then on Thursday, the public protector must come. And we engage her to clarify the issues and so on and so. We can engage her with regards to all other reports. Then the president comes on Friday. We engage him as well with all other reports. Because we would have prepared between now and Thursday and Friday to engage the president and the public protector. Then we meet again after that to take a resolution that must be recommended to the National Assembly. It's a very powerful program. Last thing. Our people need to see justice being done and justice being achieved with speed. We must not delay this any further. And I think that we've got the necessary competence and members of parliament to pursue that program with that precision. That is the concrete proposal. Thank you.
Honourable Mane.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to disagree with the notion that we must in some ways read the documents inter alia to one another. Of course, members can do that for themselves. I don't see why we should table another report that sums up all the reports. I think that is an exercise in trying to conflate all the reports and equating them, which is a dangerous practice. And then the first starting point is that we have the public protector's report. That's what launched the investigation, in my humble opinion. Therefore, we must request that the public protector must speak to her report. So if we can be able to say as a program of action, that must be the principal starting point. The second issue is, we've been issued here with an SIU report. It's an important report in some ways. Now, if I depart from the point of view of the public protector that says we need to determine the president, it's in fact that the remedial action suggests that in consultation with the South African police, the liability must be determined. I think then I see the SIU report is much more explicit in terms of what the liability is. I mean, I think I've been accused of trying to draw conclusions on this issue. The conclusion is drawn. This is not about a reinvestigation. We're not sitting here without, the fact of the matter is that 242 million rands of people's money was spent. That's a conclusion. The second conclusion is that there are people responsible. That's a conclusion. The other conclusion is the fact that there's a leader in President Zuma who lives in a house that has been paid for by tax money, and the public protector drew the conclusion that he must make appropriate actions that must take place.
So it's not pre-concluding an issue. That was long done. If this is an investigation, then I need different skills. So my simple issue here is, you asked Honorable Kubai, why should the public protector appear here? There are some questions I hold when I read Secure and Comfort that are not even inter alia to any other report. There are, for me, as someone who has not gone on site, or in fact have been on site, but will ask the public protector to come here and be able to give further clarity if clarity is required. It would be the same with Advocate Vassoni at the SIU report to give clarity. So I think that must be the starting point of the discussion. For us to now suddenly try to invent new ones is dangerous. I think we must accept the reports. We must accept them as authoritative. Let's study the report and ask the authors to clarify. And as other members have said, there are other authors on the table which say there's a response by the president to the report. So if he wants to also clarify his own report, he'd be more than welcome to come to this committee to give clarity to his report. So all I'm asking is that let's not try and black mamba deal at this thing. No, let's accept the report and depart from there.
No, I'm chairing here, Honorable Gadi. The Honorable Macheka is next, and then I'll come to you, and then the Honorable Mulder is also there.
Honorable members, it is important that we take decisions and remain loyal to our own decisions. We have just adopted the minutes, which read as follows. Paragraph 3 on resolution taken by the meeting. Paragraph 2 says, the committee also agreed that after considering the relevant documentation, it would decide on the names of the relevant persons that need to be invited to appear before the committee, if any. So we have not considered the document as we agreed. And therefore, we are not in a position to be talking about who must be invited and who must not be invited. We have that right at the right time after considering the documents. And so what the chairperson has requested us to do now is to propose the dates for the meeting. And Honorable Biek has proposed the 25th and 26, so if on that day we have considered the documents, honorable members will be at the fullest liberty to propose names of people that they think must come before us, but today is premature, and thank you very much for the attempt to do what is premature.
No, honorable members, let's be fair. Honorable members, just stay calm. You see, we are asking for different proposals, and let's allow
but
members
the proposals
to
make problematic undertones because
to
what
make these proposals. Honorable Shivambu, I haven't recognized you. Honorable Gardi.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, I think our colleagues in the ANC are doing what is called the Stalingrad approach. Stalingrad approach. The defense of Moscow by the Soviet Union soldiers in the First and the Second World War. I mean, you are just hell-bent that the president must not appear before people, probably young as we are, to question him. Why does he write a letter to the president and say to the public protector that she does? Nonetheless, I am raising my hand to say, one, the content advisors of this committee are employed by Parliament, most probably catered deployment. We don't want another report from them. We have went to school, we are well read. Since March we have been reading the reports of this. We don't want their report.
What is your point of order on the matter?
See, The member is giving an impression that staff of parliament is biased, and that is an incorrect. Because he's saying that, but also you must respect us, comrades.
No, address the chairperson, please.
My point of order is that he's giving an impression that the staff is biased, because he's giving an impression that there could be...
Honourable member, I fully understand what you're saying. Honourable Gardi, there's a point of order. The staff that are sitting here, and the staff of Parliament, right, let us not cast those aspersions on their political choices or loyalties, because that is a matter for each and every South African.
Okay.
To have those type of
views. No, it's fine. Let's put it this way. Let's put it this way.
Yeah, just on my man has said that he's got a few supporters working here for Parliament who are DA supporters.
No, it's fine. Let's put it this way.
Maybe you must start a recruitment campaign as well.
Great. Parties, political parties have got their own content advisors. So we don't need a report from the parliamentary content advisors and researchers, because the FIU and other officials of executive and state institutions are trying to really frustrate the content of the public protector's report. So we have got our own content advisors, EFF, and I'm sure the same thing with any other political party, including the African National Congress. So the officials must just stay out here. We don't need their content advice. We will read. We've got our own resources. We will come here and engage. We cannot delay this matter anymore. Thursday, the public protector is here. We have read. We are ready for her. Our content advisors have helped us very well. So if the ANC is not ready well, they will call her another day. Thank you.
That is your view, Honorable Gardi. You've stated it very clearly. I first want to take the Honourable Mulder, then the Honourable Dlakule, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I want to appeal to all the colleagues around this meeting to understand the seriousness of what we are dealing with. This is not a light-hearted matter. I want us all to understand that the public is looking at us with a magnifying glass. We've got one chance to do this right. This is not about sound bites. This is not about nice headlines in newspapers, and it goes for all of us. This is about getting it right. We've got one chance. I had the privilege, or whatever you want to call it, to serve on the previous ad hoc committee, and the chairperson was there as well. And that committee did not conclude its work because it was said that we do not have enough time. I want members to understand that next week, Thursday, will be the 25th of September, which will be a day less than a month when we've got to report to Parliament. None of us want to go to Parliament and say we didn't do our job. So I want us all to understand that this, what we are busy dealing with now, should be paramount in our work as members of Parliament. It should be our first priority. It should be on our minds morning, noon, and night until we've completed our work. Now, I understand what Dr. Motshekga is saying, that we agreed that we should first look at the documentation before we proceed, and that all members did not have the documentation, and those of us who served in the previous ad hoc committee are at an advantage because we've done that. I've done, and I've read all the documentation, and I'm busy with the latest report. But I want to appeal, if we meet next week Thursday, then no member should arrive at that meeting not 100% familiar with all the reports, with all the documentation, with all the facts that we continue with our work at that stage, because we are running out of time. My personal view is that we cannot proceed at that stage after we've had that meeting. We can then meet and we can discuss. And I'm of the view that it will be necessary to ask certain individuals to come to this committee and to clarify certain things, because our mandate is not only to look at what the report said. Our mandate is to look after taxpayers' money. There's a wonderful little TV program called Seconds from Disaster. Now, in my mind, it's quite clear that an aeroplane crashed. None of the reports, none of the documentation I saw was trying to say the spending of $246 million was a wonderful thing. Everybody agrees there's something terribly wrong here. It's our job to go and see what exactly happened, and the reports contradict one another in certain instances. I understand that we cannot decide today who are we going to ask to come and give evidence, But I want to appeal to members to have all the documentation, everybody to know exactly what's in those documentation, next week, Thursday and Friday, to then agree in the terms of the process forward. Time is running out.
The Honourable Lakude.
Thank you, Honourable.
Are you disagreeing with what the Honourable Mulder is proposing?
No. Okay. I just want to say that he said exactly what I wanted to say. Thank you. We cannot jump to conclusion that we are going to call so and so without even
Honourable Member.
With our work as a committee.
I want to draw this discussion to a close now, Honourable Shabambu.
I don't know why. You are saying we are jumping into conclusion when we say that certain people should be called to account here. Because the public protector said already that the president should report to the National Assembly about his actions and comment on her report within 14 days. And I don't understand how can escape that, because it's what the public protector said should happen. We can't, whatever terms of reference we're going to set here should include the fact that the public protector has given a directive which is empowered by the constitution that there must be a report from the president. We don't want conduits or some representatives, Michael Hali, coming to report on behalf of the president here. We want him to come and report, because that's what the public protector says. We want a report from the president of what happened. When is he paying back the money? That is what we are looking for now. It's not about some bites. It's what the public protector says should happen. So there's no other way. I don't know how I want to escape that. If really the ANC's approach is that the president must not come here to report, I don't know which constitution you're protecting. If you say you're protecting the constitution. We need the president to come and account it, because the public protector, empowered by the constitution, said he must come and report this particular process in terms of how he's going to act on the remedial actions that have been proposed.
The Honorable Ndlozi, followed by the Honorable Mosheka, the Honorable Dlakude, the Honorable Ngobo, and the Honorable Masepo. And then I'll come to you, Honorable. Honourable members, we really want to conclude the meeting,
yeah,
so that we know how we're going to move forward. Please don't repeat things that you have said earlier. It is well recorded. There was a proposal on the table from the Honourable Mulder that's supported by the ANC. IFP is also supporting it on how we should proceed. Really, we want to bring it now to this meeting to some
to
closure.
Support
you supporting
the proposal that says, fine, we must meet on Thursday and Friday. Where I can't support is that I don't know why the anxiety is about simply saying, let the author of the report be able to come and clarify.
So you support what the EFF is saying?
No, it's not just I'm supporting what the EFF is saying. Of course I do. And I support what the other opposition parties are saying. I am simply saying, we can read. We've gone past reading. We can't be coming here and call this a read shop. It can't be. We're not here to reread things. We are here then to take decisive action in terms of saying, here's what the report says. We've already read that. All I'm simply asking is, can it not be that the public protect? Because that's the next step. If we're going to get together next week to reread the report, then I'm struggling to understand what's the purpose of next week's meeting.
Okay. It's noted, the Honourable Lozi.
Thanks,
you see, the Honourable Imane has jumped the queue now ahead of you. So, but I've allowed him to do so.
Thanks, Chair. Well, Chairperson, I don't think we're differing, really. We're going to find each other, and I hope we do. The reading of the paragraph that the Honourable Mutsekga was saying is open for interpretation, and I hope he himself understands that. To consider reports, let's consider the work that we do in other committees. If there is a report by an entity of government, for instance, the SABC, we often invite them to come and take us through their own report. Because they've written it, we go through the report. That is to consider the report. And I'm saying that it helps the work of the committee to be speedy. We're not appealing because we think, unless of course there's something bad that we are afraid, the honorable members must assist us. What is the problem with going with considering the report through the original source and author of the report? That is the proposal concretely is. Let's elevate, because we're talking about a program in the interest of time. So I'm returning to my original position with that persuasion. On Thursday...
Oh, honorable member, really, really, you have stated that position. And you have repeated it on Thursday, the public protector, Friday, the president, and thereafter further discussion.
Chair, with due respect...
Is that the same proposal you're making?
No, Chair, with due respect, why I'm restating it is because it has a different substantiation on the basis of what the honorable members are persuading us. They're persuading us that we must consider the report on our own. I imagine such a meeting how it would go. It will go without an anchor of clarities of what whoever wrote it meant. So I'm persuading them that if we elevate that there are three important reports with which we don't want to sidestep, we must take that decision. Please bear with me, Chairperson. One, the public protector's report, and we invite her as we go through it. Two, the SIU report. We invite the SIU advocate, whomever. And he takes us through the report. That is us considering the report. And the president's response. Mr. President, take us.
Honorable member, will you draw it to a closure now?
That is
because
what
you have now restated your position. Really. Really. I want to ask the I recognize the Honorable Mulder. The ANC, Honorable Macheka, there were a number of fans here. Can we also try to bring it to closure now? Because essentially there's two views on the table. The one view says let's meet next Thursday and we will consider the reports in front of us. The other view says no, very specifically as to who must come and present whatever reports is there. And we'll have to take a decision on that. We are not going to belabor it the whole evening.
Honorable Chairperson, assist us. Because we cannot sit in a meeting, make a decision, and 10 minutes thereafter seek to change that decision. As far as this meeting is concerned today, we took a decision that after considering the documentation, we will decide whether or not any person should be called. Now, therefore, what is before us is to decide on the dates of the meetings at which we will address that issue. Nobody refuses to address the issue, but we have agreed on the timing of addressing the issue. So, Chairperson, I request that you really help us to finalize the question of the dates at which we will meet. And also, Chairperson, we cannot, even before the required meeting takes place, take resolutions which must be taken in a meeting which has not set, with due respect, Honorable Member.
Okay. Honorable Lakude?
Thank you, Honorable,
Honorable Member.
Wait.
What is the point
I
of order?
I'm being sincere. I really want to ask Honorable Macheka just to, if he would take a question. I really would want for him to clarify.
No, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, we are moving in a particular direction. Honorable Macheka, do you want to take a question now from the Honorable?
Because
really, Honorable Members, you know what, Honorable Members? The Honorable Mulder raised an important point about the seriousness of the work that we are busy doing. And we are going, order, Honorable Member, we are going to reach a point very, very soon now where we'll have to take a decision, because I've given you ample time to restate your views. And from here I can see what the views of the different parties are. And we are not going to belabor the whole evening and repeat exactly the same thing. So ask your question, Honorable Member.
Thanks, sir.
So that the Honorable Macheka can respond briefly.
It's really sincere. I just want to understand, Honorable Macheka, what do you mean by consider a report? I'm unclear, because if next week is about a meeting to consider, well, what does that mean? I just want to understand what you mean by that. Maybe I can draw a different conclusion if you explain that.
reports that will be tabled at a meeting to be... This meeting has requested that all the reports relevant to the security upgrades should be tabled in this meeting for consideration and recommendations to the House. So we will consider the reports, but we cannot take resolutions on the reports, contents of the reports that we have not yet considered.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Honorable Mocheha. The Honorable Dlakude.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we are going around in circles here. Honorable Chairperson, let me remind at this meeting that the recommendations by the Public Protector said the President must respond to her report within 14 days. That's one thing. Then secondly, Honorable Chairperson, I support the dates of the 25th and the 26th next week that we meet. We deal with the reports ourselves. All the people who compiled the reports said everything they wanted to say in the report. We said so ourselves that we can read. Then the need will arise as to what step should we take next. That's my understanding of what we should do here. So, again, to support what Honorable Mulder said, Honorable Chairperson, we really need to deal with the program of this committee now. Cannot be held responsible by people who
present
themselves as if they are not serious about this work.
No, honourable members, I think all members are very serious about the work, but we must now move forward. No, honourable Shivambu, I have not recognised you.
But can we
really, I have not. You can't just expect in a meeting whenever you want to say something, the rest of the meeting will sit and wait now for you to address the meeting. I'm not going to allow that.
Can you please not?
No, honourable Shivambu, it's not your opportunity to speak now. Thank you. Honorable Kubai.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was starting to feel that there are certain people who have better privilege than the others in the meeting because we really have to listen to each other. Just first, there was an issue, what becomes the purpose of the meeting, and I want to go back to what I raised and as I started making the proposal. One is that we as committee members are not even sure whether we are on the same page in understanding the reports that are before us. That's one. So the meeting next week is for us to make sure as members of the committee, because my understanding, Chairperson, of a portfolio committee or an ad hoc committee of parliament, firstly is that we need to stop being partisan and be able to work as a uniform. So if we do not have the same understanding, I have not read all the reports, unfortunately. I have not had those reports. I was not part of this committee. I still have to give myself time to read. I've read part of the reports of the PP. But what I'm raising is that we need to come to the same agreement of how we understand and interpret the reports, so that by the time if we decide to call anyone, we need to be on the same page. You can imagine a situation where somebody appears here, sits there, we start differing on our own what to ask that particular individual. It's a disaster. So that's what I'm appealing for, Chair, and that's the spirit I'd proposed, the approach for the 25th and the 26th. So I thought, let me just clarify that.
Honorable Ngobo.
Actually, Chairperson, I'm fully covered by Honorable Kubai, and I also am supporting that we have our work done for the first time on the 25th and 26th because we've got a time constraint. Thank you.
Honorable Maseko.
Thank you very much, Chair. Every committee of Parliament has support staff, including the content advisor. And at this meeting, it would be given reports. The content advisor comes with all the other officials and presents those reports, in summary of those reports, to the committee. we ask questions, we engage, so that we are on the same page, exactly as Honorable Gubai has said. I don't agree, Chair, with the issue that we do not need the Parliament's content advisors and so forth. So it means that every committee of Parliament will have to say we don't want the staff of Parliament. It is the responsibility of every committee that is established by the rules of Parliament to have that support staff to assist it. And I agree, Chair, and I support the issue of 2 full days, 25 and 26, that you work through all those reports. It is only then, if we are not not satisfied ourselves, that we then, coming to the if any of paragraph 3, that if any, then we'll be able to detect which of the other stakeholders that would want to come and clarify some of the issues that we do not understand or have are not on the same page on. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mulder.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I would, I'm not saying that members are doing that, but I would like to appeal to members not to see this whole process as a process of the public protector versus the president. It goes way beyond that. We've got to play our role and do what we need to do. I've heard some of the colleagues say, but who's going to take us through the reports? You must go through the report yourself. That's why you're here. That's why you're a member of this committee. And if you go through those reports, you'll come back and you'll see that you need maybe more than the public protector and a number of other people as well to clarify certain issues. I have not heard anyone, any member of this committee, saying that we are not going to allow people to come and testify before this committee. If I heard that, I will be alarmed, because it's my view that I think it's necessary, but we are not there at this stage. Because some of the members quite clearly made it quite clear that they have not studied the documentation. They don't know what's in it, for example. Maybe so. That's why I proposed, let's give members all the documentation if they don't have it. Let them study that by themselves. And let's then next Thursday come here and discuss what we found in those documents. And then I want to make a proposal then from my side, and others will make different proposals as to who I think we should listen to take our work further. That's what we need to do.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The last speaker on this point now will be the Honourable Shavambu, your Chief Whip, Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Chin. I wanted to, I almost got impatient, and now I'm patient. I wanted to correct Honourable Lakute's view that the public protector said that the president should respond within 14 days. It did not say so. The report is there. We can have access to it. It says a report to the National Assembly on his comments and actions on this report within 14 days. A report, not a respond. He was supposed to have responded long time ago. He has not done so, and then the way we are dealing with the program is not being practical. Inevitably, Chair, there are issues that we need to clarify in the public protector's report. That is why in the process of considering the report, we can go through the process that you're proposing. But can we have the public protector to clarify some of the contextual issues so that we have a common understanding of what did she mean by certain remedial actions that she proposed there? So we can have the internal process of ourselves going through the report together, and I'm proposing that because next week is 24, 25, the other week, Parliament goes to recess for 14 days. It means that for 14 days, we're not going to be able to meet. When we come back, there's a different program that Parliament must engage in and everything else. It looks like ourselves, we're trapping ourselves into a delay process. Mm. This issue is over-delayed altogether. Already it's delayed. And we can't have the process delayed further and further more. We need to report to Parliament. I think the due date of the National Assembly is November. 24th of October. It's actually not practical. If the National Assembly is expecting us to come back on the 24th of October, but we're already refusing some of the immediate actions that we must engage in now, it looks like the ANC is not prepared to report on the 24th of October. Because we're back on mid-October and we need to conclude the report as soon as possible. Where are we going to get the time to do all the work? Can we please agree that part of considering the report of the public protector
should include, yes, what you're proposing should be done, but we must have the public protector coming to brief us as well. And then immediately after that, we can listen to what the SIU has got to say. And then the president must come to report the National Assembly in terms of the actions that he must engage in paying back the money, because that is what the public protector must be done.
Okay. Honorable Shabambu, may I just add that the date for the committee to report to the National Assembly is the 24th of October. However, the rules of Parliament does allow the mandate in terms of the reporting date to be extended if the committee makes such a request to the National Assembly. Honorable members, no, I'm not going to recognize you. Honorable Kubai, no, I'm also not going to recognize you. I said you are, your chief whip has now spoken. So your chief whip has spoken. No, honorable member, what we are going to do is, honorable members, there is an emerging view, there's agreement around Thursday and Friday to go and read the reports at your leisure. I actually encourage you to make time to read all the reports. And the staff that has been allocated by Parliament, the two of you can compare notes. Honorable Maimane, you can make time over the weekend to consider it together. I'm still busy addressing the meeting, honorable member. The parliamentary staff that has been allocated to the committee in terms of the researchers and the content advisors are going nowhere. They've been allocated to the committee for a specific task, and they are there to play a support role when requested to do so and as directed by the committee and the chairperson. The emerging view thus is that we will meet on Thursday and we will start the consideration of the reports, and whoever will need to be invited will happen after we have had the discussion on Thursday and Friday. Honorable members, that concludes the meeting, and we'll meet next Thursday. Thank you. There's a question, what time on Thursday? Do you have caucus on Thursday, on my money? No, those are details. We will communicate with you. But preferably at about 10 o'clock in the morning.
If I can ask Shepherdson if we can do it sooner rather than later, because I don't want to know the night before.